Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I get to bring you the word. I'm going to sit down. Whoa, that's weird for me. I'm going to try it. We'll try it and see how it goes. I might sit for the whole time. I might not. I wanted to bring you a word today that is almost like a lesson. So let me turn on my iPad so I have some notes. I want to talk today about the gift of tongues. And this is a topic that is very controversial, that can be divisive, that can be misunderstood easily, that, can go astray. And so today I wanted less to preach at you and get you, you know, emotionally hyped up. More so today I wanted to teach your brains. So, hello, my name is Teacher Danny for a little bit. Why don't you open to Acts 2? We'll start there. We're going to bounce around a whole bunch. I'll have notes and stuff on the screen for you. Maybe if I can have some notes on my screen, that would be great. Okay, I got to go to Acts 2. Are you guys ready? Is this going to be interesting? I hope so. Okay. You can talk to me even though I'm teacher. Teacher Dan and less Preacher Dan. Today I want you to experience something. But in our context in North America, for us, our experience can get blocked by our mind. And so when I sought this, when my pastor led me to, it was a weekend and we went away on a Saturday and there was about, I don't know, 8 of us and we heard about what this gift was and he didn't go super in depth. There wasn't a lot of teaching. He more so said, this is what it is. This is how we're going to pursue it. And then we're just going to go for it. Just let it happen. I think today we need to actually satisfy our brains, our knowledge, our understanding, so that we can let our spirits go, so that we can submit. It's not about a surrender where God will beat us into submission. It's just that we say yes. Yes to God. Yes to what he wants to do. So at the end, we're going to have an experiential moment. We're going to leave this sanctuary open for people who want to just experience. But today, I want to give you some knowledge. So here's my sermon in a sentence. The whole sermon, one sentence. The Spirit promised by the Father still fills, still empowers, and still gives voice to prayer beyond our understanding. The Spirit promised by the Father still fills, still empowers, and still gives voice to prayer beyond our understanding. Are you guys at Acts 2? Do you got your Bibles open? We're going to be all over the place, but I want you to read the word for yourself. Yes, you got your Bibles? You got your phones? Hold them up, hold them up, hold them up. Yeah, good. Good job. Let's start in the Old Testament. God promises the Holy Spirit. Promises. In those days, the Holy Spirit would only fall on a few at a time. Maybe one, maybe a few, but the Holy Spirit, this gift, this indwelling, was different than it is now. Now, before we even get slightly deep, I don't have it in my notes, but I got convicted this morning. If you believe in Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. You are sealed, actually. It's like this moment where we submit to God, and he just says yes, and he gives us like a stamp, seals us. So if you're here wondering, well, do I have the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit if you believe. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Paul says that you are saved. So you have the Holy Spirit, but then there's this more. There's this something else, and that's what we're going to explore today. So Old Testament, Joel 2:28 and 29 says this, then after doing all those things, and all those things, there's a bunch of different things that Joel talks about. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Everybody say all. Good. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. There's this promise that God is not just going to give a few this power, this privilege, but he will give, everybody say all this gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, Jesus says this, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power, power from heaven. Now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. Also in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5, it says this, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized in water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So there's this promise, not just a few, but all, and all are going to receive what power from heaven? That they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to remember as we're going through this that tongues are not the goal. Even though Paul later is going to say eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, and I do want you to eagerly desire them, the goal of this is more of the Holy Spirit. I want you to press into the Holy Spirit. Tongues are not the goal, more of God is. Through his Spirit, we receive what? Power. Power. And I would say power to do what? It's to witness. Okay, so let's go to Acts 2. It says this, starting in verse 1. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." And so it goes on, and they talk about how they're speaking these other languages. If you skip down to verse 9, it lists a whole bunch of places. I'd probably butcher half of those names. But all these different languages, it says, "And we hear all these people speaking in our own languages as the wonderful about the wonderful things that God has done." So right here in Acts 2, this promise that we talked about just a little bit ago is fulfilled for these people then. At one single moment, these people, all the believers, filled in this one big room, flames, tongues of fire, it's crazy. They experience this supernatural ability only the Spirit can give. They didn't speak in different languages that they knew. They spoke in different languages that they didn't know. And they did it so they could witness to other people around them. So this Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in known languages to other people. And that is what the whole crux of this little portion is. It's about the Spirit being poured out, this proclamation that he will come one day. He has come right now in this moment. And then there are many salvations that come from this as Peter preaches, spiritually empowered by the Holy Spirit. So power for witness. Are you guys with me? Holy Spirit was promised, poured out. He gets the spiritual languages that are known to the people, and it's for witness. This is Peter's Spirit-empowered speech right near the end. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of your Holy Spirit." This promise is for you, these people listening to him right now, your children, and to those far away, all, everybody say all who have been called by the Lord our God. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Sometimes people want to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist in today, that the Holy Spirit, the works, the spiritual gifts are done and gone away with. And I would point you to this verse. This promise, it says, "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is for you, to your children, and to those far away, all, not some, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So there is a Holy Spirit. He is working today, and he lives in us, and he gives us supernatural abilities that are often ununderstandable in some ways. But our mind can still understand that. I just want you to know we are not cessationists here. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe he's working today. Amen? Okay. After Pentecost. So after this moment where the Spirit is poured out, where there's something supernatural that happens and people, they hear God in their own language, it doesn't just stop there. After Pentecost, people continue to receive the Holy Spirit. I also want to draw just a little side note. There's a distinction between baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's something different. I don't want to explore that too fully right now, but there's something about being filled up, being washed, being cleansed. This baptism is a dunk, a complete immersion of you, a complete changing, washing, cleansing, whatever it is, it changes you. Here's Acts 8. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. Again, there's people who have heard. Now they're sending people to go and witness. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers, to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That would be water baptism. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So there's something different. Samaria were half Jew, half Gentile, kind of like this half-breed of people. They were considered to be different or in some ways outcasts. They had a separate location. But they believed. They were baptized in water. And then it says that Peter and John laid their hands. Sometimes we do that here, laid their hands, and these believers received the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to note here that they don't explicitly speak in tongues, but something is going on here. The Holy Spirit's continued to be poured out upon people who believe. There's this, almost like this another experience, another something more is happening. Then, I also want to include these verses because when people receive the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible that they did speak in tongues explicitly. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. For, how did he know? For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. So right here, it's saying that they believed, that they were Gentile believers, the Holy Spirit gets poured out, and they knew that the Holy Spirit was there because they're speaking in other tongues. Okay, last but not least, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So here we have this pattern. The Holy Spirit comes. He fills or baptizes people. Something miraculous happens. They begin to speak in other languages. Okay, let's give you a summary of what I've said so far. We know that there's a promise of the Holy Spirit on all people, not for some, on all people, that resulted in empowering. There was power that came for witness and for salvation of known languages. People would witness in other languages that they didn't understand, but other people knew that were known, which have no indication of being only for those people at that time. It's for all of us. It's not just for them. It's for all. Okay. Now, let's get into some real meat. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time together today. 12, 13, and 14. So when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, when I'm talking about the gift of tongues, often we either just want to go to Luke or we just want to go to Paul. That we just want to go to Acts or we just want to go to one specific place. I want to teach you. I want to give you a holistic understanding. So when we look at Acts, when we look at this section, the Holy Spirit's poured out. Doesn't say what kind of tongues. It doesn't say a whole lot that we can try and interpret, but it does say that it's known languages for other people. And then we get into 1 Corinthians, And Paul starts talking about stuff. We go, whoa. And sometimes we look at the Bible like a James and a Paul, and we think that their theology is opposing, but Paul and Luke would have known each other. They would have spent time together. This isn't a disjointed thing. There is cohesion, so I hope that our minds can reason together and we can learn. Are you guys in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Yes? Are you with me? I don't want to go without you. Yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There seems to be a clear distinction between the manifestation of the gift of tongues. Clear distinction. I know you're trying to read. You're trying to keep up. This is heady. This is a lot of knowledge. I'll try and walk you through this. First off, in chapter 12, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, rich church. This church was disjointed. It was multicultural. There was a bunch of people who were, rich, but also poor. Like, there was a disparity between them. Paul has to correct a lot of things. They're baby believers. They're doing things wrongly. They might even have the right heart in some places, but in a lot of places in 1 Corinthians, Paul is quite harsh. And so he's teaching them about spiritual gifts, specifically about prophecy and tongues. Spiritual gifts, when the Holy Spirit enables us to do things, it's not something that we can conjure up. It's not something that we just make happen. It's something supernatural that happens in our lives, like salvation. Salvation is not normal, that all of a sudden we're transformed, that all of a sudden we can be different. This is a supernatural work of the Spirit, and it's the same with spiritual gifts. We do not conjure this up. Here's a couple things, and they'll be on the screen there. 1 Corinthians 12:11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So, from this, when we look at the gift of tongues, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. That includes the gift of tongues. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:7, a little bit before, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, okay? So he gives specific gifts to specific people. He alone decides. And why are these gifts given? So we can help one another. Make sense? Easy to follow? Okay, at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, do all speak in tongues. Do all. It says this. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And what does Paul emphatically declare? Of course not. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12. Who has the gift of tongues? The Holy Spirit knows. That's it. Why does the Holy Spirit give those people the gift of tongues? So we can help each other. And do all speak in tongues? Paul says right here, of course not. Okay. So hold that. We're going to continue to go. Let's follow Paul as he continues to teach us. Let's jump just one chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Very first verse says this. If I could speak in all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Okay, this is important. So let's pause here for a second. A lot of times, Pentecostals or theologians in general like to park on a verse, and I don't love to park on one single verse and declare that it's doctrine. We look at the Bible as a whole, as our heads, logically and rationally, so we can know things, not just experience things, but so we can know. So oftentimes people will point to this verse and say, there are tongues of angels. Now Paul here, if you go on to read 1 Corinthians 13, he is talking about a whole bunch of things. And in the same way where he goes, are we all? Now he's saying, if. There's this pattern that Paul is following, and he's talking about love, that at the end of the day, spiritual gifts without love are useless. If we're not loving one another, if we're not helping one another with our gifts, the gifts are useless. because we're not doing anything, we're not accomplishing anything. And so I don't want to park on this verse and say for sure, because generally Pentecostals would say, when we speak in tongues, they're an angelic language, an otherworldly language. And I would say, based off of this verse, it's a maybe. Again, follow with me. Follow with me. It's a maybe. Because is Paul emphatically declaring that there are indeed angelic languages? I don't know. Maybe. I think a better way to interpret this is, are there things that are mysterious? Are there things that we don't understand? Have any of you read Revelation at least a little bit? Hands up, Revelation. Is it really weird? Or do you understand everything? No, it's a little bit strange, and there's mysterious things going on in the throne room of God. Now, are there angelic tongues? I say God can do whatever he wants, and I don't understand everything that he does. So can I make a declaration based off of this verse that there are different languages that are angelic that we can then speak in? For sure, maybe. For sure, maybe. I don't want to sit here and declare something off a single verse that Paul himself in context is not saying. So I don't know. I think it's dangerous to just assert something from a single verse, but I know that there's mysteries. I know that God works in a mysterious way. And Revelation just creates this crazy backdrop. So, all of this being said, I'll go back and summarize. I don't have it in my notes. The Holy Spirit gives this gift. We see that pattern. Spiritual gifts are so we can help each other. Paul is saying that not all speak in tongues, and there may or may not, say maybe, there might be unknown languages, angelic tongues. Okay, let's keep going. 14, this is the real meat and potatoes. 14 verses 1 to 4 and 28. They create this backdrop of what we would call inspired speech, angelic tongues, unknown languages. So 14, 1 to 4. It says, let love be your highest goal. Why? Because of everything that Paul just talked about. He talked about speaking in tongues or speaking in this way. And we read it at weddings all the time. Love is patient. Love is kind. So he's saying, let love be your highest goal. That is what the Lord himself called us to. But, he says, you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Now, what is going on here? Because I just painted this picture. You guys are with me. Known languages, the Holy Spirit gives them as he wills to some people, some not. Okay? But then these verses come up. And how do we understand this? It says to seek the Spirit. Okay, that makes sense based on everything we've talked about. For you will be talking only to God. How is that power for witness? Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, something different is happening in these verses. You will be talking only to God, not other people. People aren't even going to be able to understand you, but you're speaking by the power of the Spirit, not your Spirit, not anyone's else. It's the Holy Spirit, and it will all be mysterious. And then this last part, it says, person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. Verse 28 says this, but if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. Okay, so my problem is this. If it's only known languages for witness, then why is it only you being built up? It says personally, it doesn't say the whole church. It says prophecy encourages the whole church, but tongues encourages you, strengthens you personally. Why is it only you being built up? And why is it that you alone are talking to God? something different is happening here. Paul is talking about, I think, something different. If Paul were just continuing on from chapter 13, right, in the sarcastic almost tone, the if, the then why is this section worded differently? Why is there an imperative? Why is there almost a command that Paul is teaching us? Even looking at different translations, he's still asserting something. He's not being sarcastic. Why is it worded in the tense that it is? So it seems to me, seems based on just reading the Bible together, that Paul is saying there's tongues that only go between you and God. Nobody else. You and God, personally. And it's only for you. And that's it. Whoa. Okay. So, here's some more evidence. Here's some more evidence. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says that Paul wishes that all would speak in tongues. 14:18 says that Paul speaks in tongues personally more than all of them. And last, that 14:39 says, do not forbid tongues. So you may have been taught that tongues are weird. You may have been taught that tongues make you lose control. You may have been in a Pentecostal church before where people were yelling and screaming and rolling around on the floor. You may have this wrong idea, I think, of what tongues are. But there's certain things that Paul says very emphatically, and it's that there are tongues that are for you and God, and there are tongues that are for you alone. And I just said the Holy Spirit gives people specific gifts to strengthen the church, and then Paul is saying, but the gift of tongues, this is for you. It's for you to be strengthened in your being, not someone else. You may think tongues are weird. You may actually... There's lies that tongues are unbiblical, that speaking in tongues are demonic. And I would just say this, you don't regulate imaginary gifts. If they don't exist, why would Paul put regulations on them? He would just say, they're of the devil, they're demonic. Paul says that about other things. And you don't forbid the forbidding of something illegitimate. He says, do not forbid tongues. So, here's my thesis. I think there's three manifestations of the gift of tongues. Still the gift of tongues, but it seems to be that there's three manifestations of speaking in another language. Number one, a known language unknown to the speaker with an interpretation. So I speak Russian, and I don't know Russian, and Masha knows Russian. And I get to speak that and declare the goodness of God in her own language. She gives me the interpretation. The church is built up. Number two, an unknown language with interpretation. I would assert this. I think there are angelic tongues. Again, I give you the biblical, maybe. I don't know. I'm open to what Paul says in this passage. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. And I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm okay with the mysterious. So I think there are unknown languages, and I don't know. We don't know. There are unknown languages with an interpretation, and this happens, has not happened in this church, but this happens in other churches. My friend Nathan, who's the youth and young adults pastor of Gateway Church, he tells me that there's one lady specifically that stands up quite often and will give a word. You know how I invite you to come up and to prophesy, give a word on behalf of God? She stands up and she speaks in tongues, and no one understands, right? It doesn't sound maybe even like a language. I don't know. But what I do know is that always someone then stands up after she has spoken, and they give an interpretation. How do we know? Again, this is less from the Bible, just more let me teach you for a minute. How do we know that it's a biblical interpretation of the gift of tongues. When someone stands up and gives this unknown language, how do we know that it's right, that it's good? I think, number one, it goes according to the word. So if the interpretation of the word is really condemning, really unbiblical, it's not the right interpretation. But I think also that the interpretation should be given in the same tone, intonation, should be about the same length, roughly, of that word in tongues. Unknown language with an interpretation. And the third one, I think known or unknown language, privately, just for you. There's this manifestation in which the Spirit gives me, gives some of us in this room already, the ability to speak in unknown languages, angelic or human. And sometimes I get an interpretation. Sometimes I'm speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit within me gives me that interpretation. Sometimes I can understand, and sometimes I can't. So Paul here, I think, is saying that there's three different kinds. That's what I believe. That's what I can find. That's what I can prove and exposit to you. My only concern is just, what kind of language is it? Again, is it angelic? Is it human? And I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay with it just being a mystery. And we can debate on that. That's okay. I think it's okay with it being a mystery. And Paul's only concern is that this is a legitimate gift, but it needs to be done in love, chapter 13. And then at the very end of 14, he puts these guardrails on. Right at the end, 39 and 40, let's read them together. It says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues," we talked about that, "but be sure that everything is done properly and in order." So me and David would actually disagree on this. I believe that if someone is going to stand up and give a message in tongues, there requires, Paul is saying, there needs to be an interpretation. So I remember David telling me this story about the German wedding. The church came in and they all at once began to speak in tongues, and the room just erupted with tongues. And I've sat in rooms with pastors that have been pastors longer than I've been alive, each and every one of them, hundreds of years of experience in one single room, and often they would break out in tongues all at once. I think if it's going to be done in a church setting, as we gather, I think if we were all to let a rip, metaphorically, I think it would be unbiblical. I think there needs to be an interpretation. But if I am praying to the Lord, I don't think there needs to be. So Paul's saying it's just you and God, and that there's self-control that we can inhabit. These people tried to puff themselves up with this gift, tried to make themselves appear better than they were. And that's not what Paul is trying to tell them, that their self-control, they can remain silent until there's interpretation. Going back to that 14:28, "But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately." That means their self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. We can be controlled even when we speak in tongues. So summary, what did I want to teach you? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is promised to all believers. There's no debate on that. Tongues accompany the Spirit outpouring in Acts. Again, there's no debate on that. I think there is a public and a private expression of the gift of tongues. Lots of debate on that. It builds up the church when it's interpreted, but it builds up the individual in prayer, and it must operate both in order and in love. So that's a lot of head knowledge. There was this study that was done on the gift of tongues, and they had a whole bunch of people come into a room, and they put electrodes on their head, and they measured their brain activity, and he got them to speak in tongues. And what they found is that the language center of the brain didn't light up. Didn't light up. So, here's the two options. You get to interpret. either literally they are babbling like incoherent idiots, or number two, your spirit, their spirit, alongside the Holy Spirit, are speaking. And it is all a mystery on how that works and what that is. It's one or the other. Just like Jesus, either he is the Lord of all lords and King above all kings, or he was an absolute madman. You gotta decide, is the gift of tongues for today or not? Is the Holy Spirit poured out on all of us today or not? Is the gift of tongues angelic? Is it known? Can we also receive this? My experience is that every single time I get into a throne room type experience where I'm truly in the presence of God, and yes, he's all around us all the time, but there's those big grand moments where we feel God's presence. There's something that just comes out of me. I begin to speak in a language that I don't understand. Something happens. I also have went to places, spaces, homeless camps, really sketchy places and cities. And I can tell when someone is possessed, right? I was possessed at one point. And when I speak in tongues and someone else has a demon within them, they hate it. I would argue, why does the demonic hate tongues if it is literally a demonic language? Why do they not like it? I think it's because the Holy Spirit begins to speak at a level that I don't even understand. People have experienced power from it as I prayed for others. So individually, when I pray for people, sometimes I pray in my spirit and pray in my understanding. Paul says that. And they are strengthened, and I am strengthened personally. And if you still don't agree with me, if you think I'm nuts, that's okay. But you don't get to forbid me speaking in tongues. Because this book that you believe says you can't. So we can agree, no matter what, that I am free to speak in tongues, and so are you. That anyone who comes against you and says, you can't do that, and that's wrong, Paul literally says, do not forbid it. Now, we can argue about the manifestations about how this looks. I would argue this. So, as we go into a time where I want you to experience, I want to give you, handle some objections, and this is where we're going to finish. This isn't emotionalism. We don't conjure up the experience. Verses 14, or chapter 14, verses 13 and 15, Paul says that our spirit prays and our mind prays. That's what he says that he does. He prays in his spirit and prays in his mind, meaning that he prays in a spiritual tongue and he prays in his language. I pray in tongues and I pray in English. It's intellect, my brain, and the spirit within me partnering and submitting with the spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of me. We work in tandem. So this isn't something that I just get so overcome and so undone with that I just can't control it anymore, and I blah, 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 and burst out in tongues. This isn't an emotional experience. It's a spiritual one that can have intense emotions with it. Very intense. Maybe you might come up today, because we're going to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you fear not receiving. This is Jesus talking. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? Who? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So remember I was saying, Paul literally says, not all gifts are for all people. I think that this is a manifestation that we can all have. How much more can we ask the Lord to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us? He wants to. So when you fear not receiving, just remember this. Your Father loves you, and he wants to give you good gifts. So do not have fear on receiving or not receiving. Just seek him, and I promise you, you will find. whatever he wants to give. Maybe you feel like if you don't receive, if you don't speak in tongues, you might feel less than. Remember, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And I would argue that this gift is the corporate gift and not the private gift. But just again, there's no less, there's no more. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all those who ask. Last but not least, is this only one time? Because we often argue from the stage as pastors that there is a separate experience that we can seek, that we can receive the Holy Spirit, that our baptism of the Holy Spirit includes speaking in other languages, and that one time that can happen. I would argue this, Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached the word of God with boldness. The kicker here is that it's all the believers. It's people, it's the apostles, all the people who were in that room in Acts 2 gather again, and the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness, meaning this is something that we can do over and over and over and over and over and over again. We can seek the Holy Spirit for more. Josiah, before you leave, go back. Give me some music because it's 12 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock. We've waited. We've heard from God. We're going to close the doors, and we're going to lock them until you give me $10,000. I'm just kidding. No, we're going to make this place a place of prayer. We're going to make this place a place for you to receive. And I'll invite Ellen Josiah to come up, invite Lena to come up. We're going to, right now, we're going to pray for you. If you are sitting there and you feel like, that makes sense in my head now. I understand, I hear. You can come right up, come right up. This makes sense, but I want to receive, then we're going to pray for you. And maybe for the very first time, some of you will speak in an unknown language to you. Maybe some of you will encounter the Holy Spirit in a different way than you have before. I'd invite you, whether you think you speak in tongues or maybe you almost receive one time, or if you're unsure, to come up. And we're going to pray for you that you would receive. And I also invite you to come up if you just want more. If you just want more of the Holy Spirit, if you just want more of God, if you just want more, God is inviting you to be desperate. Because as we seek him, as we ask for more of him, things spiritually start to happen. We prayed over this moment. You are not here by accident, and it doesn't matter if this place is packed out. Or there's three people in here. The Holy Spirit is wanting to minister to you. So I'd invite you, even if you want, to sit in your chair to pray. I invite you, if you have received a spiritual prayer language, if you do speak in tongues, to begin to do so for all the rest of us that are going to seek him and find him. So right before we do that, before I release you to stay in this place for as long as you need or to go and do whatever you need to go do for the rest of your day, rest of your week, I give you this call. You do not earn this. You receive. There's nothing you can do that makes you worthy enough. It's simply the grace of God that is poured out. You do not manufacture syllables. You yield. Let me confess, I literally prayed for someone recently to receive the gift of tongues. And in my desperation, because she was holding back and I could see it, and I was like, just let go, just yield. I said, open your mouth. Just, I don't know what I said specifically. Just speak. Just say something. Just let your tongue go. It's literally right on the tip of your tongue, and you're holding it back. You're not yielding. And that's wrong, because we don't manufacture this gift. We cannot. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. You do not have to be emotional. We're not going to push you over. We're not going to try and manufacture something. You just simply respond. Last, I give you this call. Let your mind be satisfied and let God do as he wishes. So I invite you now to come up. Come up and let us pray for you. Sit there in your chair, be ministered to. But right now, corporately, we ask, in the name of Jesus, would you pour out your Holy Spirit, Father? Would you come and fill this room in a tangible way? And I can feel it right now, even though I am weak and I'm tired. You so desperately want to meet with us, and we are so apathetic, we confess it to you. We are selfish. We want our own way, and we want to just hold control. But today, help us, Holy Spirit, to let go. Help us to yield. Help us to submit. Right now, if you're feeling called, come up, and we'll pray for you, even as I'm praying right now. Begin with shaking this place at its very core. How cool would it be if it actually shook? Even though, Jesus, this place might not actually shake, I know that you are able to do so much more than I can understand. So meet us in our brokenness. Meet us in our apathy. Meet us in our puffed up arrogance of our own knowledge, and help us to receive.